we tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me.
'Cause I'm the tariff man. Yeah. Oh, it's not the same word, is it? It doesn't quite work in the song that way. 7:39 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Spence Cola Morning News. Joining me now, I have Henry Kelly. He is a licensed customs broker, and he works heavily with Blue Wind, the folks who make the nacelles that then get the machine heads installed in by GE Vernova here locally. And he is going to help us understand tariffs, what did and didn't happen in the Supreme Court on Friday, and what's going to happen in the future. If you remember, Henry was the guy who gave that wonderful presentation on tariffs that I played for you several selections of a couple of months ago, maybe a month or two ago, trying to understand what tariffs are and are not. Henry, welcome back, sir.
Well, Andrew, thank you. I was wondering what bumper music I would get, and the Supreme Court did say tariffs are taxes, so, you know, we're working it.
Hey, just a quick thing. I know you were not surprised by the outcome. Neither was I. The only thing that did surprise me is that it wasn't 8-1. I mean, I thought Alito would go the other way, but I was surprised that Thomas and Kavanaugh actually joined him in this.
Yes.
Were you surprised by that?
I was very surprised by that. Kavanaugh especially. I was in the 7-2, 8-1. You know, Thomas was a coin toss, but Kavanaugh really surprised me, and I never thought I would be criticizing a Supreme Court justice for flawed logic, but here we are.
Yeah. Well, okay, so let's just talk about what did actually happen. Maybe give a, 30-second, what is an IEEPA tariff anyway? Because I think a lot of people don't understand this and, you know, the nature of the emergency that justifies an IEEPA tariff and so forth. So tell us how did we get here? And then, what did the Supreme Court say?
Well, an IEEPA tariff was a fictional thing cut out of whole cloth by the Trump administration this time. The statute refers to the ability of a president to place sanctions on a country from 1977 in response to the oil embargoes. But nowhere in there did it mention tariffs or taxes or the ability to regulate trade in this fashion. So what is a lot of people have forgotten in their political judgment, but two courts ruled against this before the Supreme Court did. So it came as no surprise for those of us that actually, pay attention to these things.
And the origin was in, as you say, was in when we're basically at war with somebody or at hostilities with somebody, our ability to avoid benefiting them with our commerce. And that's the kind of the original idea of it, right?
Right. And, he's claiming, like everybody does now, emergency powers that don't really exist. But he was using, for instance, take Brazil, where he put up to 40%. His claim was that one president ordered the arrest of a former president as a national emergency for the United States. And this was his justifications across the board that how is that affecting our national security? You just some really flimsy logic that was being applied under this statute.
And
it's important. I want to make sure everybody hears this. The president has other mechanisms to apply tariffs that require time. He used IEEPA, so literally on Friday night, he could put in a tariff that went into effect Saturday morning.
The scope of the tariffs, I don't think $200 billion is a hard thing to wrap your brain around. Your company, Blue Wind, supplies the nacelles for GE Vernova. Now, GE Vernova has a lot of different operations in a lot of different states. My son actually works for them up in South Carolina. But just to get a sense of this, how much money in the IEEPA tariffs, that's just the year-old tariffs, how much money has GE Vernova had to pay for those?
Yeah, so obviously a major employer right here in Pensacola, in their last public filing, so this is a public record, they have paid since last April $340 million in less than 1 year. And if you extrapolate that down to GE supply chains, you can rest assured that we have paid in excess of seven figures for a small business. So the losses are very real. And, you know, I've been advising clients because I have some private clients outside of the Blue Wind world. And let me tell you what's about to happen. So a friend of mine is the CEO of a major hospital chain, one of the largest in the nation. And last year asked me, you know, we've been buddies for years and years, asked me, hey, could you assess? I didn't have the good sense to charge the James Altmaier rate. In hindsight, I should have gotten a little more money. But they're able to, and Walmart announced this over the weekend too, because they have such huge cash flow and the ability, a year ago, they bought a year's worth of consumable supplies. So hospital masks, gowns, those sorts of things. So that, you know, my assessment was, you know, it'd take about a year and they would strike down the tariffs. So the major companies were able to pre-purchase and not have to pay the tariff. Well, that's come to an end. And this weekend, Walmart announced they are going to pass the tariff costs now onto the consumers. So people who think we've been getting by, well, we have been on the consumer side, but that's about to come to an end.
Because companies bought up in advance to be able to buffer through the time period of getting the thing struck down.
Yeah. Now, my company, we can't do that. You know, it's cash flow. You know, we were able to accelerate a little bit, but we, you know, we couldn't hedge for an entire year. And so now you're going to start seeing a change on the consumer side, especially if Trump goes through with the ridiculous Section 122 that he's trying to promote now.
It was under the IEEPA statute before, and now, which it's been struck down, which prior courts had said no. And part of that was the ruling by the Supreme Court that this is a major doctrines question, and that if Congress is going to give the president the power to put a tax on the American people, they're going to say so explicitly. You cannot infer this from other things. And it was an inference based on an old, you know, 1974 law that had to do with international problems and being able to avoid benefiting our enemies when we're at hostilities with them. Okay, so Trump got one way of doing tariffs taken away from him, but he's now responded by saying, okay, we're going to do it this other way. Originally at 10%, I think, and now up to 15% kind of across the board with everybody. Can you explain that, Henry?
Yeah, let me interject one thing, though, about the actual refund. Like, how do I get my money back? And I challenge any Republican listening, since I'm pretty sure by now I've been kicked out of the Republican Party. Lower courts already ruled on this, and there is a mechanism for the refund. So the Secretary of Treasury was on this weekend saying they're not going to do refunds. The court's already ruled, and they're going to have to process it, or once again, we're in violation of an order by the Supreme Court and the federal court. So, but
and by the way, that was something which you guys had to file. You had to file your lawsuit in a timely enough manner that basically the clock didn't run out on your ability to make a claim, because customs claims, tariffs claims are different from other things, and there's a limitation on how long. And that's why you guys had to be involved in these lawsuits prior. Because if you had just waited for the Supreme Court, you might have been too late to even file the claim. And so, and there are certainly companies who ran into that as well. But anyway, just more stuff you taught me from before. Yeah. Okay, so the newest round of tariffs, or the replacement tariffs, whatever you want to call them.
122 is the section. It's a 1930 law. And since I had nothing better to do this weekend, the reason I didn't pay attention to 122 is in the federal court case and the Supreme Court, the Trump Department of Justice argued that Section 122 does not apply. So his own DOJ has already argued twice that 122 doesn't apply. So on Friday, when he announced 122, I just kind of chuckled. And what it is, it's a law from 1930, and it refers to the ability of the president to place tariffs when there's a balance of payments. Now, this is different from balance of trade. So we have an imbalance of trade with China. You know, obviously, everybody can understand that. But the payments are the money flowing between the nations, and it's important to understand that balance of payments includes capital. So it's not just I'm paying for things, but it's the whole how much money flows into Wall Street. So the argument right there is already facetious. You know, I'm pretty sure if and I'm putting an if on, if he actually signs the executive order to implement these, a federal court's going to put an injunction on this very quickly.
Immediately.
Almost immediately. It's just a ludicrous application of that section. It's never been applied before.
And also, but, again, you mentioned it, but just I want to make sure it doesn't escape people's notice that the Department of Justice, or, you know, in the Solicitor General, in arguing at the Supreme Court, argued that that form of tariffs isn't relevant, which is why they use the IEEPA ones. Now, when IEEPA gets struck down, they're going to turn around and say, no, those are perfectly fine. Those are exactly right.
Right. That's what I'm saying is they're on the record is arguing against his DOG is on the record is arguing against this. It's you know, but there's an interesting clause in this one. Well, let's just say it somehow stands up within 150 days. Congress has to reauthorize the use of 122. So 150 days, March, April, May, June, July. Anything going on this summer that might be of interest to the political world?
Like primaries, you mean?
Like primaries. So he's going to put the Republicans under the gun if the courts don't do him a favor. And by the way, as a Republican, I can tell you the Supreme Court did Trump a favor. He should have taken the win with the being struck down and walked away. Because this is going to increase inflation. The 122, he's leading the Republicans down the primrose path if this stands up and they actually have to vote on it this summer. I mean, imagine having to take that vote to reauthorize these.
One of the key things that I think maybe doesn't get mentioned as much, you mentioned it right at the very beginning of our conversation, is that Trump has other mechanisms even still. The big difference with IEEPA is that he could declare the emergency and do it immediately. Other avenues, and as I understand it, there have been dozens, if not hundreds, of other investigations implemented in order to create the justification for implementing other tariffs on the basis of evidence and notice and public comment and all that. Is that right?
Absolutely. There's what they call the Section 301 and 232s. And this is what he used in his first administration.
Those are the ones back in 2018, 2017, that vicinity. Okay.
Right. There's an investigative process. Department of Commerce conducts investigations into the allegations laid out by the president. And then, but we, anyone affected or not affected, there was a public comments period. So you could write and submit, you know, go to Commerce and you know, we I think write in the Constitution a redress or petition for redress, you know. We the citizens, companies, have the opportunity under those statutes to participate in the decision. So if a ruling goes against us, well, I may not like the ruling, but the process is fair, and the 232 and 301s have held up to court scrutiny. The courts have ruled, hey, these processes, Congress gave a full, as you said earlier, the, you know, there's a permission slip in there. You know, a process and a permission slip. So the problem for Trump is those take a long time, and he likes to be reckless. And, you know, from a practical point of view.
Or run out the clock on the process until you can get the other process in place. I mean, six of one, half done the other, right? Get to the end goal.
But one of the entertaining things being a broker is, you know, of course, we have our own chat groups and emergency meetings this weekend, and I've got one Tuesday. But during the IEEPA tariffs, people at 7 a.m. would pay a different tariff than a company would pay later in the day based on when the cargo arrives in the U.S. And, you know, legally, with my license, you know, I am legally bound to protect the revenue of the United States, which is to say I'm supposed to make sure the right amount is paid for the right material. And if you're changing the rules, the importer of record – you know, if they pay the wrong tariff, they can be fined. It's like doing your taxes wrong.
Right.
And when the system is that erratic, we've introduced so much uncertainty, what happens is businesses stop investing. And this is the point we're reaching. You know, you mentioned one of the things earlier with the great Rubio speech about rebuilding shipbuilding and submarines. And these are things that we're looking to get into. Only I have a seven-figure hole in my pocket,
right,
but I would love to invest in equipment and people. that I told people, no, when the IEEPA gets struck down, we'll get the money back. Now I'm having my own U.S. government argue against me getting the right to my own money to turn around and reinvest in my community. So I'm a little salty this morning.
I noticed.
Is how I would summarize.
It's understandable. No, but it's
how
a great.
I would summarize the day.
But it's a good point. I mean, you know, there's the uncertainty created by all of this, the instability, the investment that harms investment, companies that would have otherwise, like, you know, you said before that the Blue Wind folks under these circumstances wouldn't have started this because of the uncertainty. And
yeah.
Like you say, you now you're not even expecting necessarily to get your money back that they owe you from the IEEPA tariffs that were struck. I mean, It's crazy La La Land stuff, but that's why I wanted you on, Henry. We're totally out of time.
Well, thank you.
But thank you so much for helping this morning. And I know it's a lot to digest for folks, but Henry Kelly, he's a licensed customs broker, and he also is a principal at Blue Wind here locally. Henry, thanks for the time, man. I appreciate the education.
Thank you, Andrew.